Memorial Day weekend. Some sad news. Sad news. You know, Rick and I talk about entertainment all the time. It's one of my passions, I guess. It's interesting to me. I think it's a snapshot of what the country cares about. We lost Ray Liotta. Damn. Lost Henry Hill. My favorite movie, Goodfellas. Even after all this time, if it's on TV, I see it on the lineup, I stop and I see what scene it's on, because I love his performance. He was just hit it out of the park. Now, speaking of hitting out of the park, you know, Field of Dreams, he was good in that too, but Goodfellas is on its own pedestal. It's just way up there. Unbelievable. You know, he had a lot of other good movies. I just liked Ray Liotta. I think most of you understand who are a fan of Ray. He had no problem just showing up being Ray. He didn't play very many characters. He just played Ray Liotta as that person in the movie. Mel Gibson does the same thing. Tom Cruise pretty much does the same thing. Now, he's had a couple of pretty dramatic roles that he did very well at, but you pretty much get what you get when you cast Ray Liotta. He also had that one movie, kind of a smaller movie, but had some big stars in it with Kurt Russell. Unlawful Entry, when he was a cop, kind of a rogue cop, kind of terrorized the young couple. He was good. He apparently passed away from a medical event down the DR, Dominican Republic. That movie he was shooting down there, I don't think we're going to see that. I think they were too early into production. But I do understand that there's some other movies that he had completed that are going to be released. So we're going to see some Ray Liotta posthumously. But damn. Hated to see that. Anybody watching have any idea who this is? Or who you think it looks like? Yeah. That's Winnie the Pooh, folks. Winnie the Pooh in his new starring role as Winnie the Pooh in Winnie the Pooh Blood, Love of Blood and Honey? Yeah. So they have taken the beloved Winnie the Pooh and Piglet, and they're turning them into supervillains of a horror movie. Now, this movie is probably going to be terrible, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be dialed in. The Kelly household and Mama Kelly Defense, I am going to drag her if she doesn't want to go, but she even likes horror flicks. We are definitely going to go see this. Check that out. Wow. Yeah. Kind of got the whole creepy thing going on now. The first thing that came to my mind, and I'm sure it's coming to you guys listening or viewing and seeing this, is how in the world is this production able to pull this off? Disney owns it, right? Well, I looked into that. And apparently, after a certain amount of time, after it's been copywritten and it was owned by a single person, after a certain amount of time, it goes public. The name, image, and likeness all goes public. Now, stories that were created post or during that time, those individual properties still hold up. Like, you can't remake the same movie and repeat the exact same thing. But the character itself is pretty much fair game. Now, why just Piglet? Well, apparently some of those other characters that were added later or copywritten in later, they still are under copyright law. So, now, you're probably thinking, well, Winnie the Pooh isn't probably the oldest property that Disney owns. You know, what about Mickey Mouse? Well, you know, again, Mickey Mouse and Disney were able to push those dates back, apparently, with some legal jargon that I don't completely understand. But, yeah, man, it didn't take long for old Winnie the Pooh be out there in the public marketplace before someone snatched him up and slapped him in this character. Now, you can kind of see, like, he don't have the red shirt anymore, the red sweater. He's got this red flannel overhaul thing going on, kind of like a Jason Voorhees vibe to it, but it's got Winnie the Pooh's creepy-ass face on it. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, I'm all in on this. And again, It's just one of those things where, why in the world didn't I think about it? Well, number one, I'm not smart enough to know that Winnie the Pooh's coming up on being public as far as a copywritten character. But yeah, man, I'm definitely going to check this out. So
you had to sit there and go, all right, if I need to get information, and especially if I was going to go purchase a magazine, well, that costs money. So I'm going to sit there and peruse the magazine first. Does this have articles and things I want to read? Is this fitting what I want to do? And then, yeah, I've got to put down my hard-earned money to get that magazine and go, all right, you know, I think it was, Muscle and Fitness used to have those rip-out things and, oh, get swollen 6 weeks or whatever their whatever the stuff was, man.
And that's what sells. That still sells, but.
Well, sure, but there was, you know, I'm not going to say there wasn't supplements and other things out there, but the nutrition piece wasn't, you know, it was more pushed if you were the bodybuilder type deal, right? You're looking to get cut. All right, this is my preseason bulk up. Here's my preseason cut, yada, yada, yada. The only thing I really knew, this is just me, from nutrition standpoint when I was growing up, was wrestling, was I could count me some calories, and I knew how to wear me some trash bags and dehydrate myself. Probably not the most healthiest way to do business, but that's kind of, you know, that's where we're at. So, I mean, things have come a long way, but I caution, you know, TikTok, the internet, who are you looking at, who are you pulling this advice from? And it's no different with whatever you're looking to get better at, train. Does it make sense?
You know, and we all know that the reality of TikTok and social media and everything is that everything is posed. Mm-hmm. You're not getting the complete picture of what's going on. So I would definitely second that. If you're going to follow someone on social media and see what they're doing, there's probably a lot going on behind the scenes.
Sure. And
yeah,
that's the thing. You got to look at somebody for what they're doing, right? And I'll give you a prime example. I'll put Pat out there, you know, so Pat Mack. Pat's all, and this is the thing, right? So people think Pat is, oh, he doesn't really do that. Yes, he does. He's done that for years, and I'm just not talking social media side. I knew him well before social and all this other crap. That was just the way he did business, right? So it was functional fitness. And you're starting to see that, in my opinion, make a swing to what guys are more looking to do. So I'm not saying that the days of back and buys and chest and tries, and if you're doing that, hey man, I'm not putting you down. I'm not doing anything, but I'm saying for your overall fitness, is that fitting, you know, kind of what you need to. I would say if you're in a job, you know, especially military, law enforcement, firefighter, first responder, whatever, you might want to look at doing some functional stuff. You know, is that actually working for me? You know, versus that, hey, I'm just going to do bench today and that's all I'm doing, you know? So just food for thought. I just caution, caution people what they're looking at, do their research, and you got to find programs that fit for you. And just because you see old Johnny, whoever, squat 3 freaking Volkswagens on his back, don't try to go out there and do it right from the get-go.
Well, I think what we're kind of all, you know, leading towards is, it's not so much, you know, what am I going to make today for your research? The research should be, and there's plenty of stuff out there. Like mm-hmm. Rick said, how to read a label, how to read mm-hmm. and find out what exactly is in those foods. But for me, the food piece, if someone wants to get started, eating real food, not cooking out of a box, mm-hmm. you know, eliminating those obvious bad things like sugary drinks is probably one of the worst things you can do. If you're not, you know, an athlete that needs those electrolytes and all these other things like all the time, those sugary drinks are terrible for you. You know, water, mm-hmm. you know, just unsweet tea, things like that is an easy alternative just to start with. But just cooking at your, where you live, at your own kitchen and eating real food, all colors and manners of vegetables, you know, lean proteins, and just be very easy on those carbs initially is a good place to start. But,
you know, if I've got my preferences, yeah, I prefer the working type, you know, breed. I do. You know, your Shepherd Jumalis, your stuff like that. I enjoy working with them. Do I have to do bite work with them? I don't. Would I don't know. You know, it's one of those, again, for me, I wouldn't want to try to go down roads of similarities. Because again, it's still kind of raw, it's still kind of fresh, and we're still kind of figuring out all what's going on. But I just say that, you know, I just, with kind of what we had going on, I just wanted to give you guys some food for thought. You know, can you become, you know, a foster parent where you're just kind of hanging out with dogs for a little bit and maybe work them a little bit so that now, hey, you've got that dog in your life, but he's not permanently your dog. I mean, you could do that. Give you a chance to, you know, if you want to foster, sit there and go, hey, does this dog fit our family and our lifestyle? You know, if not, you know, you're not attached to it, and worse yet, you're just not getting a dog and then turn around and having to do an owner surrender and take him back down. Because again, with, especially with the working breeds, man, everyone always go, man, should I do this? Should I do that? It's like, I don't know. Does it fit your schedule? Does it fit whatever? Are you going to leave him out during the day, not work him? And then next thing you know, you come back and you got no couch, or you got no drywall, or something's tore up or destroyed. And you're like, man, I didn't see that coming. Well, again, it's just doing that research on there.